And welcome to our AA meeting for Planet FM 104.6. My name is Ben, I'm an alcoholic, and I will be chairing our meeting this morning. Would you all like to help me open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So, thank you for joining us this morning. Today we have three wonderful speakers from the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. We have Sharon, Wayne and Stacey. They will be sharing their experience, strength and hope with us. And first up, I would like to invite Sharon to open the meeting. Sharon, welcome.
Thank you, Ben. My name is Sharon and I'm an alcoholic. I guess I should start off with how I ended up in AA. Like most people, my drinking had got out of control. And I often self-reflect to think, when did I cross that line in the sand and how I ended up to where I ended up in AA? But I really can't remember because I think I drank alcoholically from a really young age. I didn't really understand this until I actually came into the rooms of AA and started to learn about alcoholism, that I believe it's, you know, a genetic disease. My dad died of alcoholism and it's run through, basically, I was born in Scotland and raised in Scotland as a young child, and it was just part of the culture that I was raised in, that, you know, my family drank alcoholically, and I do believe it's genetic. So I guess starting from that point, when I first picked up my first drink, I really can't remember, but I know that I was really young, and I never knew when to say when. So there's a saying in AA, you know, one's too many and a thousand's never enough, and that was kind of like a sort of common theme with my drinking. Wasn't really till I got married and had my kids, and I was in, you know, all my life I had people tell me that, you know, I was an alcoholic and I drank too much, and I always ended up in slippery places. I could never understand why could I never switch off, or why did I always end up in trouble? Because inevitably I always did, you know, towards. Before I ended up in AA, one of the last scenarios was I ended up going down to a pub to meet some friends, and the next thing, and whether I was in blackout, I remember waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning on the side of a street in the Franklin area off Tuakau Harrisville Road, which is not exactly one of the safest areas in Franklin. And I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I was just lying on the side of the road, and I actually had thought that someone had attacked me. I had no bag. I thought somebody had stolen my bag. I got up and had no shoes, and I started to walk towards my house and found my purse and realised that I must have just actually, I still don't know how I got there to this day, whether I'd got a taxi home and I got kicked out. That was just sort of the kind of common occurrence of things that happened, you know, go to a party and end up creating carnage, and, you know, falling off balconies to splitting my head open, ending up in hospital. But it got to a point where not only was it about the drinking, but it was what it was actually doing to my thinking. Because, you know, after the drinking, I'd wake up in the morning and then I'd have some really deep, dark thoughts. So I guess enough was enough. And I had a, shortly after that Turakau incident where I ended up on the side of the road, I had a I had a tragedy occur in my family, and it really hit me hard. And my drinking even increased to where it became daily drinking, where I probably was on, about the fourth DIC, and I was on the verge of just about losing my job because I'd been caught drinking, pulled over in a company car. And so things had just gone from, escalated from sort of, you know, bad to worse to the absolute, I guess what I thought was rock bottom at the time. So someone recommended, potentially you're an alcoholic, Sharon, and you need to get to AA. And so I went to AA and went into my first meeting. I was really, you know, I was really afraid, didn't understand. Immediately I felt really comfortable because I, you know, I was told to, you know, open up your ears and listen to the message, and I could identify straight away. So that was how I ended up in AA. You know, I don't believe anyone just ends up in AA by mistake. And so I did what was suggested. I went to six meetings and really heard the things that I needed to hear. Unfortunately, that wasn't the end of my drinking. I never left AA, so I still continued to go to meetings, but for I'd get periods of sobriety up, and then I would have a slip, or whatever people want to call it, slips. Never left AA, but I really struggled to put down the alcohol for many, many years. I'd get periods of a year up, 2 years. I think I even got up to 5 or 6 years. And then, you know, just couldn't put it down until a couple of years ago. I just had, it was enough where my marriage was back on the line, you know, back on the line, and I'd, you know, created this new life, and I knew what it was like to be sober. But it was that obsession in my mind that somehow could I really, was I just a part-time alcoholic, you know, I struggled to get my head past that fact that I was an alcoholic. It was an obsession. So I guess 2 years ago, I had a sponsor. I'd had a sponsor for many years, and we started to work through the steps of AA and continue to go to regular meetings. I wasn't always a regular meeting attender, and started to really take on board the things that were suggested to me, like the daily readings and meditation, and really getting involved in AA, which I had been involved in service prior, but, you know, quite often once I'd got a year or two up, I'd get really complacent and just think, oh, well, you know, I've been sober for 2 years, I don't really need to do many meetings, and that was just a real slippery slope for me. So I think, I do believe I've hit my rock bottom, and it's just given me a really amazing life, not only in the sense of I've been able to rebuild my life again in terms of having a stable job. You know, I'm an employee that my boss can trust. I'm a mother that my children can trust. I'm a wife that my husband can trust. But most of all, it's I'm doing this for myself. I'm not doing it for anybody else. I'm doing it for me. And it's just that thinking. It really changes your whole mindset in terms of being able to live peacefully and in serenity. And that's just something that I'd never experienced for many, many years, particularly with the, you know, coming in and out of drinking. So it's an incredible journey. And if you're really struggling out there, just keep coming back, because that's the message that I was told. Just keep coming back, and it's your time, and it's your time. But I graciously acknowledge that I am now, and humbly or graciously, that I am an alcoholic, and that my life is unmanageable if I don't do the suggested things that I need to do in AA to keep me sober. So that's the only difference in what I do today, is that I do all the suggested things that to keep me sober, and I do keep coming back, and I am doing service, which is why I'm here today. You know, there is a life out there that you can live beyond your wildest dreams, and I'm actually living proof of that. And it's not, I'm not talking about wealth, assets, I'm talking about peace, serenity and love. And so just keep coming back and hear this message and give it a go and get rid of the fear, because fear will basically won't get you through the doors. So you just got to face it and come. And if you can identify when you're in a meeting and you can identify with people, then you're absolutely in the right place. So that's my story, and thanks for letting me share.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Sharon. Thank you for coming in and sharing your experience, strength and hope. And thank you for all the service you do as well. Now, next up, Wayne, would you like to share?
Absolutely. My name is Wayne. I am an alcoholic, and it's great to be here. And yes, I've been around Alcoholics Anonymous over 38 years, and I haven't been 38 years sober, but I did celebrate 10 years sobriety on the 23rd of July. So one thing I've learned in the 38 years I've been around is it's the quality of our sobriety and not the length of it. But I did wake up clean and sober again this morning, and that is the biggest asset on the books of any alcoholic. And service has already been mentioned. I actually run a meeting myself, and I think service is important. As it was mentioned before, one drink is too many, a thousand's never enough. And thank God it's one day at a time. If somebody said you've got to stay sober for the rest of your life, which is really the truth, it would be a big ordeal. But fortunately, we do it one day at a time. Yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery. I did not get sober to be miserable. If I'm not happier as a result of being sober, there's something wrong with my sobriety. Now, I don't say that flippantly. Just because we're sober doesn't mean to say every day is wonderful. Life happens. But what I can share with you is there's no problem in life that a drink won't make worse, because the problem's still there the next morning, twice its size, and you've got a headache to deal with it. Sense of humour is a big thing. You know, I think it takes 7 more muscles in your face to frown than it does to smile. And I'm pretty convinced that people who laugh live longer. And certainly people that stay sober live longer. And I'm really enjoying life. The only way I look at alcohol these days is a little word beginning with P called poison. You know, it doesn't matter whether it comes in a bottle or a cask or a flagon. Alcohol is simply poison to the alcoholic. What happens to a plant if you tip poison on it? It wilts. And that's what I was doing to my brain cells, to my kidneys, my liver, and every other part of me. So I choose not to take any more of that poison into my system today. Probably the scariest part of my drinking was blackout, waking up on a Sunday morning with a policeman knocking on my door, reminding me what I'd done on Saturday night. And I couldn't even invent the alibi because I couldn't remember. Scary stuff. I always drank for voltage, not for vintage. And, you know, beer was 4%. You know, whiskey's about 40%. So you could probably imagine, you know, which one I would rather go for. And I'll tell you a little story, too, about that. Many of you know, well, I'm a singer, you know, and there's an old saying, wine, women and song, or sex, drugs and rock and roll. That kind of described my life. And I've got a very large record collection, and I clean these records with a substance called isopropyl alcohol. Now, for those of you that don't know what isopropyl alcohol is, it's 100% proof alcohol. Now, I can remember a time when I lived on a flat on the Ellerslie-Panmure Highway back in 1989. And I had my best friend over for the weekend. And we drank on Friday night and on Saturday night, and then Sunday rolled around. And of course, it wasn't like it is these days where you could buy alcohol from the supermarkets. Unless you knew where the sly grog shops were, you were stuffed. So, but anyway, my best friend and myself, we were we started drinking this flagon of cream sherry. Now, one flagon of cream sherry wouldn't have been enough for me or my friend, let alone both of us. But this isopropyl alcohol, I keep in a Tupperware container with about 500 mils. I mean, if you go to the chemist, they sort of look at you funny and ask you what you use it for. They sell you about 50 mils. But I keep a half a litre or a litre with a little soft cloth, and you wipe your records around, and it cleans them. But anyway, we saw the level of this cream sherry flagon going down, and I thought to myself, what are we going to do? Because we're going to run out. So what I did is I thought, isopropyl alcohol. And then I thought, hang on a minute, Wayne, that's 100% proof alcohol. It just might kill you. So what I did is I made up a 2-litre container full of Raro. I got a ladle, put the ladle into the isopropyl alcohol, put the isopropyl alcohol into the Raro, stirred it round, had a taste, and I thought, oh, that's vile. And I said to my mate sitting across from me, you try it, see what you think. He said, no, it needs more isopropyl alcohol. So that little concoction of Raro and isopropyl alcohol got me and my good friend to where we needed to go to for that particular afternoon. And when we'd finished drinking that lot, we went across to the petrol station and drank meths. Now, you don't invite somebody over to your home for an afternoon's fun and say, would you like a methylated spirits or an isopropyl alcohol? Do you want a beer or a wine, or do you want a tea or a coffee, you know? Point I'm making is once I started, I had to finish. But it's not so much about how much we could drink or how strong it was. It's what happened to us when we drank, you know. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. It's not a chore or a task to go to meetings. Meetings are important. You know, they say 3 meetings, good job. 2 meetings, good luck. 1 meeting, goodbye. So I still average 4 or 5 meetings a week, you know, which works for me. They say resentment is the number one killer of alcoholics. So I try not to have those. Resentment is very similar to anger, but there's a subtle difference. If somebody hits you and you want to hit them back, that's anger. If you feel the same way in 3 years' time, that's a resentment. A resentment is a bit like picking up a full cup of poison and expecting the other person to die from it. The only person you end up hurting is yourself. No. And they talk about going to any lengths for our sobriety. Well, that's why I came here today. I mean, there's other things I could be doing, but where else would I rather be? Except I'd rather be carrying the message to the still suffering alcoholic, which is what we're supposed to do. Some people leave when the going gets tough, and my advice to anybody is do not leave 5 minutes before the miracle happens. The miracle might just be around the corner. You know, do not stop drilling half an inch before you strike oil, you know. And every time I put a glass to my lips, I was committing suicide by installments. I was shortening my life, you know. So really, I have a great life because I'm sober. I sing better. I thought I sang fantastic, but I was pissed. But I sing a lot better sober. And basically, if you're an alcoholic and you continue to drink, there's really only 3 ends to it, you know. We either sober up, we get locked up, or we get boxed up. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wayne. Very, very powerful share. Now, for our last speaker, Stacey.
Thanks, Ben. Hi, I'm Stacey. I'm an alcoholic. Experience with alcohol. My experience with alcohol started at a very young age. It was never a good experience from the get-go. I was a blackout drunk from a very young age, and as has been shared today, it was brought up in Scotland. Everybody I knew drank. There wasn't much hope in the areas that I grew up in, so I continued drinking blackout drunk all my teenage years. My father used to tell me that I was an alcoholic as a teenager, but obviously you don't really listen to your parents at that age. And I just continued down that path. Like, I won't get into detail about my drunkenness because it's probably just like everyone else's. I drank to stop the pain of childhood trauma and losses in my life. I thought alcohol made it easier, which it did. Until I left Scotland. I escaped. Never thought I was an alcoholic. Came to New Zealand and I thought it was great. They had good jobs here and you could drink at lunchtime. New Zealanders were just like Scottish people. Like, alcoholics are the same everywhere. And my dad came over. My introduction to Alcoholics Anonymous, my dad came over to visit me and he brought me a big book. And I used it as a doorstop for many years. He took me to a meeting. I think it was Campbell's Bay meeting. I went in there. He says, obviously looking back now, I knew what he was doing, but he told me it was to support him. So I went into Campbell's Bay meeting and was looking about. The carpets were horrible. It stunk. It was old people. I'm like, this is disgusting. Like, I would never want to come here. A couple of years later, that was one of my home groups that I attended every week. So Alcoholics Anonymous has changed my life. Like, I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous now for 4.5 years, and the first 11 months was the hardest, but the best time of my life, really. Like, I did all the suggested things. I got a sponsor and went to meetings, prayed to a higher power that I had no idea who it was, because I resented God as a child. But I just prayed anyway and done my meditations, ate well, everything my sponsor told me at that time I done. And looking back now, it was the best but hardest time in my life. It was the most content I've ever been. And that was just doing the suggested things. I relapsed after that. I went in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous for, I'm just 6 months sober now, so a long time. But the difference, this time I feel that I have a connection to a higher power. And my sobriety is dependent on the work that I have to put in. No one's coming to save you in this world. You have to do the work for you. And the life that I have now, like, I used to listen to this in meetings about a life beyond your wildest dreams, and I couldn't understand that. I thought it was cliche. But now, looking back in the 4.5 years that I've been in sobriety, even though I've relapsed many times, but as has been shared again, you come in and out, the doors are always open, and I'm so thankful for that, because I don't know where I would be without it. The life that I've created for myself is phenomenal. When I joined AA, I was sleeping in one of my workmates' houses on the floor on a mattress. I had nothing to my name. I was in debt. 4.5 years later, I own my own house. I'm engaged to a beautiful girl, and I've just got a whole life. It's not even the material things that I've got from not drinking. It's like, spiritually, I have been unwell all my life, but see, just that connection to a higher power, a God of your understanding, and just praying and meditating each day, going through the steps, it's changed my life. Like, I owe most of what the life I have now to AA. Because if I didn't come here and the people in AA helped me, probably, I don't even want to know where I would be, probably dead in a car crash or killed someone else, or I don't even want to know where I'd be. But I can honestly say it's saved my life, and I'm just thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the people that have came before me that have taught me the way. Like, the big book, when I first started reading it, I was just reading it because I needed help and I didn't know what other help was out there, so I just read it. I wasn't even absorbing any of it, and 4.5 years later I read it, and it's like my life. Like, I've learned so much in AA, and I continue to learn, and I think I'll always keep learning. The big book is seriously been one of the saviours. People call it a Bible, and I can understand now, in the past 6 months, of actually openly, honestly being myself. It's changed my life. Like, I just love it, and it's been written 100-odd years ago. It's crazy. I'm just thankful, and for any newcomer out there that's listening, it is hard struggles, But as I've said, like, you need to put in the work if you want to be well and you want to have a life without alcohol. AA is the place for you. Like, just put in the work and just keep coming back. No matter how many times you slip and you slide, the doors are always open. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Stacey, and congratulations on your 6 months of sobriety. Fantastic. Well done. That is all the time we have today. Thank you so much to all three of our speakers, Sharon, Wayne and Stacey. Thank you for coming in here. Thank you for your service and thank you for sharing your experience, strength and hope. Now, we are on air every Sunday morning at 10:45 a.m. So tune on in to Planet FM 104.6. Now, if you have related to any of our sharers today and you wish to speak to someone directly, please call 0800 229 6757. That's 0800 229 6757. Or you can go to the AA website, which is aa.org.nz, where you can find a whole raft of information, including a meeting list or a meeting directory, so you can find your local AA meetings. And in Auckland alone, I think there's about over 150 meetings every week, so plenty there for you. So thank you very much. We'll see you next Sunday at 10:45 a.m. And would you help me close the meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change,
courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep coming back.
Yeah. Oh, baby, the world is on the edge of no tomorrow. Oh, baby, we should make the most of the unknown. If the sun's gonna go supernova and a time on Earth is over, everything that we have gathered even matter at all? Fire
keep down.